I tell you what, marriage is one of the most fulfilling things you can experience in life and one of the greatest challenges. And so joining us frequently to help navigate some of those issues, Joe and Cindy Farini. They spoke nationally with Family Life's Weekend to Remember for over 20 years, and they've been contributors to Pause for Prayer since 1998. It's time for My Marriage Matters with Joe and Cindy Farini. Welcome back, you two.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Thank you.
Doing great. So flirting with danger, you have that in quotes. So is this like you're saying a double entendre, like actual flirting?
Yes, actually. So last time that we were on, we were talking about protecting your marriage.
Yeah.
And so as we talked about what to do for this week, we thought, why don't we talk about, because we kind of had to make a definition of what flirting was when we talked last time. So we said, let's kind of talk about this time, and then we have something we'll share with you later, what we'll do the next time. But yes, we thought that it would be a good idea just to kind of see sort of the evolution of flirting and where that can take us, which is not good in our marriage. And let's just remind all of ourselves what the definition of flirting that is, and that is to behave as though attracted to or trying to attract someone, but for amusement rather than with serious intentions.
Okay.
The problem is it might not be with serious intentions, but it can often lead to some serious troubles.
Well, and I think there's a relative nature to it. I think Ron and I have talked about this before. Like my wife has said, oh, you have a flirty personality. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what that means. I'm just being nice to people.
Right.
But she's convinced of it. And I think Dana said that to you, Ron, right?
Oh, yeah.
So is it relative in some way, Cindy?
Well, I think that's really interesting because I know you both. I would say, and maybe you could ask your wives this and see if there's any difference, but I would say your personalities are playful. And I think that flirting could be playful, but I think there's also another layer in flirting that, has sort of a connotation or a direction that's more like I'm interested in you rather than this is really playful and fun. I think you could cross the line. And like I always used to tell my kids, and I've shared that here, I say, be careful of the things that you're doing because you don't always know when you cross that line from fun to foolish.
Yeah.
And there's a great danger in that for kids, of course, but then also for our marriage.
You know, of course, the unknown variable in our discussion right now is the other person. I mean, how, that playfulness, the good times, the smiles that you have, and just that's who you, Ron, are, just very nice, very wonderful people, but someone might take that. Thank you. You got that listed.
Oh, yeah. The bell. Yes. Happened. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Anyways, but another person who doesn't know you very well could take those same interactions and take it to another level.
Right.
And so you may be completely clueless of the fact that you're coming across this way to somebody, but somebody is looking at the situation and saying, wow, there might be a possibility here. And so let's ramp this thing up to the next level.
And, I think Ron and I have talked about another aspect of it before, which is like, we're not shy about being complimentary. Like Ron might say, oh, Lauren, you look nice today. I like that outfit. And somebody else might be like aghast by that. Like one time, one of my wife's friends, I'd said, oh, you look really nice today. And her friend was horrified by it. I was like, what?
Right. Exactly.
What am I supposed to? Boy, you look very normal today. The same as always.
Very plain. Thank you.
But I've had to be conscious of this because it's something I'm not afraid to do. But clearly it can be taken wrong.
Right. Exactly right. I remember this one time I complimented one of my assistants that I worked with all day long. But I said something that was just kind of off the cuff, kind of, boy, you look really nice today.
And yeah.
Thank you for always being addressing professionally. And boy, she just kind of took that the wrong way. And she started saying things to me. And I said, what? What are you talking about? I'm just complimenting you at this point. And so obviously, from that point forward, I had to be very careful about what I said and didn't say to this person.
Right. And from then on, it's like, wow, you look terrible today. Goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Step it up, would you?
Come on.
So where do we go from here then? Once we, okay, so we've kind of established what it is, the complexities of it. We do have to be aware of it, even if we don't necessarily realize we're doing it. So what's the next level of understanding here?
Well, I think the first, we need to start with the first part in the, of where it starts, and that is in the mind. And, you know, if you're, so I have a couple of questions that we could kind of ask ourselves, and they would be things like, are you thinking about this other person? Are you thinking of them a lot? And are you daydreaming about them or thinking about, you know, how can I spend time with them? And you're in your mind, just in your mind, no one knows about this, but you're just making plans. Do you find yourself thinking that you don't want to engage with your spouse emotionally or physically because this other person's thoughts, the thoughts of them are kind of taking over? And then do you think about ways to run into the other person and spend time with them? Like you're in your head, you're thinking and kind of making it happen. Now, you know, when you're young and you are dating, those are the kinds of things that you do because you're looking out and after other people. You're thinking about them, thinking, oh, I might be interested in them. But there's a danger in that when you are married. Do you want to share your scenario, Joe, about that?
Do you want me to? Yes. Okay. Well, I'll share a story with you. Actually, the Lord just woke me up like at 4 o'clock this morning, basically reminding me of an incident that took place. And this was before my married years. But the way I look at it, it's a modern day parable that the Lord taught me, an amazing lesson looking back on this thing. And so you have to kind of stay with me on this story here because it kind of goes on and on. But one day a friend of mine, and I'm just going to call him the instigator. All right. He brought a mutual friend who happened to be a girl. She was quite beautiful, kind of a temptress, I'm going to call her. Brought her over to me, and I was playing with some guys. We're just hanging out playing, and it didn't take long before the instigator was trying to set me up with this person who was just at this point now strongly flirting with me at this time, and the instigator was encouraging us to spend time together. But by the grace of God, I was able to resist that temptation. Now, at the time, I was not a Christian, but, you know, we lived by a code. And the code was you never take advantage of a girlfriend, right? Especially if the person is a friend of yours. So the point here is that I escaped that situation, but the story doesn't end there. The next day at school, this friend of mine, who was the boyfriend of this temptress, grabs me in the hallway and starts yelling at me and telling me, why did I do the things? And he listed a list of things here. They were the exact same thing that the instigator said that I should do with this person. And I said, wait, whoa, back off. I didn't do any of those things. And as he was yelling at me, I looked up, and about 20 yards away was the instigator. And he was just laughing and pointing at me and at both of us. And I said, look, he's the instigator. He's the one that caused you to think this way. I had nothing to do with this. And as I thought more about it, and I think this is the reason why the Lord woke me up today, was that the point is that in this scenario, I could see the instigator who was causing this temptation to become, in front of me that day. But Satan does the same thing to us. And we don't see Satan, but he will set us up in situations that will cause us to sin. And the scripture verse that the Lord brought to my mind was from Ephesians 5:15. And I'm taking this from the King James Version because I like that version for Ephesians 5:15. But it says, see then that you do not, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And the key word there is circumspectly. Now that's made up of two words, which we get circumference, like circumference of a circle, whatever. And spectly has to do with inspection. And the point here is that we need to be looking around at all times as to what's going on. And we are to do that not as fools, but as wise people. And then it goes on to make the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And not surprisingly, the next step, the next verse is Ephesians 5:18, which talks about the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when we think about you know, this flirtation issue, and we think about possibly being put in scenarios or situations which can lead to affairs or can lead to other things, the safeguard that God has provided for us is the spirit-filled life. And, you know, clearly it's a command to be continuously under the control of the Holy Spirit. And again, that true story that happened to me just brought to mind what Paul talks about in Ephesians 5.
Very good. Thank you for sharing that with us. Now, Cindy, you started us off talking about the mind, like how often you're thinking about this person, daydreaming with them. Was there anything else in mind you wanted to cover? Or are you ready to move to the next one?
Yes, just one thing just to tie us into the next one, and that is when you are having those thoughts in your mind, and if this is a person at work or someone sort of in your environment, you either need to get out of that environment or get really tight with the Lord. The song that you just played was I'm Going to Walk with the Lord. That's exactly it. We need to gasp the Lord. Let us flee the thinking so that we don't get into something that's going to become more verbal, which will then possibly lead to something more physical. So I guess the next part would be just about the verbal aspect of flirting with danger.
Okay, take us there. Yeah, what do you mean by verbal? Is it just conversations or what?
Well, I think it does. Well, as we say, it starts in the mind. And then, of course, it can lead to different kinds of conversations that you're having with the other person. And you mentioned it earlier, like even giving people compliments, or Joe mentioned that too, or kindnesses, as you also mentioned. And sometimes people take those the wrong way. So even though you're a nice or a kind person, they may take that as being flirtatious to them. So another question we could ask ourselves as we enter into sort of the verbal part of flirting is, you know, is there secrecy from your spouse about these conversations? Like, if I don't feel like I can tell Joe about a conversation that I had with somebody, I'm probably not in the right direction in terms of my thinking and then what I'm saying. And then a lot of times too, I think it's the tone that we use. So it's not just like, oh, you look nice today. It has a different tone, like, oh, you look really nice today. And I think, you know, we have to be careful of that tone and how we're coming across. And then I guess also just, you know, is there any secrecy from your spouse about spending time with this person, whether it's at work or, you know, you're making excuses why you have to work later with this person. And then lastly, you know, are there areas of conversation that should be kept just between you and your spouse that you're taking into the conversation with this other person?
Yes, especially complaining about your spouse, right? Yeah, I've heard that a million times that starts to drift people in a bad direction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I remember a number of years ago, I was helping plan an event, and this was an event planner at this venue, no one that I really knew very well. I knew this person a little bit. And she began doing exactly what you just said. She began talking negatively about her husband, which I did know. I did know him just because I knew her. And then she began just saying some other things about another person. And I thought, she is going the wrong direction. And I think when you start that, you start putting things in other people's minds too. Like, oh, what a bad spouse I have and how miserable that person is, to make yourself look better so that when you enter into some kind of, whether it's an emotional or physical relationship with someone else, you've just justified what you're doing. You really haven't, but in your mind, you think you have justified it.
Right. I mean, this is kind of a slippery slope that we kind of talked about last time as well, that, you know, it may start off as a pretty innocent conversation, but then it kind of escalates to the next level. Maybe not in your mind, but in the mind of that other individual. And again, I just go back to Ephesians 5. I mean, if you read that chapter, that thing will keep you out of trouble. I mean, it talks about there is to be no filthiness talking, no silly talk or coarse jesting at any time, which is not fitting, it says, but rather giving of thanks. And so we just need to honor all these relationships that God puts before us. And I think that's probably a key word for me today is, it's just the importance of honoring the relationships that we are in at this time and not taking advantage of them or thinking that we can say certain things or get away with something, saying something, and just think, well, they're just friends. Well, you know, those things escalate, you know, and they're accumulative. And so you need to just be careful so that, things don't get out of hand. And as Cindy was talking about earlier, just the importance of just getting out of that environment if you see things kind of ramping up on you.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, and in fact, I've thought through it before where it's like, if your conversations are such that you wouldn't be comfortable talking to your spouse about what you said as if it's a text mm-hmm. message, just showing it to them, then you're probably right. doing something wrong and you need to make some adjustments.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly
right. And often, Joe and I, if we're going to be in touch with someone else for some reason, if I'm going to be in touch with a gentleman or him, a lady, we tell each other, we'll often say, look at the email or text and make sure that, they know, we each know what we're doing and why, and often even mention our spouse in that conversation.
Yeah, I remember this one time I had a luncheon appointment with this other dentist. And so let's just say, Cindy knew I was going to be meeting with Dr. Smith for lunch today. Well, I get to the luncheon, and here's Dr. Smith as a female. And I didn't know this person, obviously, so I took the time to excuse myself, call Cindy up and say, listen, my luncheon appointment with Dr. Smith is a female. I just want you to know that that's what I'm doing in case anybody gets any feedback to you that could right. come across negatively. And so, again, this is all about circumspectly behaving in your walk and in your talk with people all around you.
Yeah, that's so good because particularly with you, Joe, Cindy knows a lot of people, and you could just imagine somebody calling up and going, "Did you see Joe? He was having lunch with a
exactly.
woman, Cindy." It's horrible.
Exactly. And how yeah. great that I could say, "Oh, you mean Dr. Smith?"
Yeah, right.
You know?
Exactly.
So there's a safety net in that. But we also have learned, and especially when you are on radio, a lot of times people don't recognize you by your face, even though in your community people might know you. But a lot of times people will know you by your voice. And that has happened to me, not in this scenario, a different scenario. But it does make me realize we do have to be careful of the appearances, just like the scripture says. Mm-hmm. And then, this can go to, as we just kind of finish up with the way that this would go. So we think about things in our mind, we take things to a verbal level, and then, if we're not careful, it can lead into the physical part of things. Excuse me. Do you touch that other person's arm? Does a gentleman help you into a chair in a different way that might look just a little bit more comfortable? Do they help you on with your coat, or do they touch your arm, or do they hug you, or do you hug them? Those are all things that may look like you can justify it, but then you have to be very careful because it might be leading to something else.
Yeah, that's so important because you're not talking about dramatic, like intimate touching of any sort. What you're saying is it's just the small subtleties that can take you down the wrong road.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And, I think we can be astute enough to recognize that. But as Joe just said, if you're looking all around you and you're paying attention, you will notice it mm-hmm. instead of just justify it.
Yeah. And you never want to give the appearance that something might not be right. And so, again, that's the importance of the Ephesians 5 exhortation. It's a great passage for us as we're talking about this topic to spend some time reading that passage today. And it'll be a great safeguard for you.
Do you have any advice for somebody listening now that feels a little convicted that they may need to make some adjustments in life? How do they go about doing that in a way that's honoring to God?
I think the first thing that they need to do is figure out what environment are they in and how can they get out of it. We've shared this before, but there was our last conference that we did for Family Life. We had a couple, and he was having an affair. And long story short, we had conversation with them. We spent a couple hours with them. And I'm telling you, you could see him understanding the wrongness of where he had gotten himself. And when they left, he went to his workplace and quit.
Oh, wow.
Because that's where this affair, the person was working with him.
And he was an executive type person.
Wow.
And so he just quit. He quit his job. He just quit. And when he went home, they immediately, and this was all his doing. He and his wife talked about it, but this was all, he put this all in place. He went right to his spiritual, if you will, people at church and said, you need to hold me accountable. This is what happened. This is what I did. I just quit my job. And he wound up getting another job. But I'm telling you, he took this, if you will, the bull by the horns and said, this has to stop. And I know they are still married. This has now been about 4 years. They're still married. They're happily married because this guy put an end to what, and she was willing to forgive him. There's a whole story there, but the point is he made changes. Wow. Now, maybe you don't have to quit your workplace for that to happen, but maybe you do. And if you're really serious about your marriage, you'll take the steps that you need to make sure that your marriage is protected.
Really great advice, you two. Again, Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. As I understand it, you all will be posting this audio. And how else can folks get connected to you?
Yes, we'll post this audio, thanks to Ron and our web guy, Kevin. And he's our dear friend also. And we will have that on My Marriage Matters on Facebook. But then I also want to say that in 2 weeks, we're going to take this flirting idea to how to flirt in your marriage.
Ooh. That'll be fun. Lauren perked up on that one. Eddie, you better be listening. So this is really great stuff, you two. Thank you so much. As always, we're grateful for your time.
Thank you. And this will give us 2 weeks to practice it.
That's right.
At home.
That's right. Okay. Making note. Ron is furiously right. Oh, wait. No, he's not. He's mentally noting. He's mentally noting.
Stay tuned.
Thank you both. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.